Welcome to Ghost Biz here on the Business Report. I'm Gary Struble. I chat to the finance ghost every week to find out what's going on in the markets that affect your pension funds. Now, before we get going, just a big thanks to our audience for making us Namibia's number one business podcast. You can pick up this feature and episode and all previous features and episodes wherever you pick up your podcasts, Apple, Android, or on Spotify. Remember to like and subscribe. And of course, you can always tell us what you'd like to hear more of. Right, Ghost, let's get going with Blue Label. Blue Label gives some more details on their planned Cell C separation. They're looking to list Cell C. Cell C, naturally, South Africa's third cell phone provider. It's been very tough for Cell C to compete in a market where MTN and Vodacom had an enormous head start. So let's just get your view on what on how Blue Label goes about doing this successfully.
Hello, Gary, and to all of the listeners in Namibia and elsewhere in the world, wherever you may be listening. Blue Label, nice, easy start there. Not one of the most complicated companies, I think, on the JSE. Certainly one of the most complicated set of financial statements, which has been a real pity, actually, because I think it's been quite a hindrance to a lot of people getting involved there. I kind of have this overarching rule where, you know, if I need to spend a month unpicking a set of financials and I feel like I need to phone my fourth year accounting lecturer to try and unpick some of it, then it probably is a little bit too complicated. But a lot of people who bought just the overarching theme inside it, which I'll get to now, have done really well. And of course, traders who elected to just follow the momentum have also done very well. So well done to them. The problem with that is, of course, you're never quite sure when to get off this exciting train, because if you don't have a view on the fundamental valuation, then how do you know when it's become overvalued? But anyway, it has worked for those who had a go. And yes, they are looking to separately list Cell C. Now, hopefully, in doing so, that will sort out a lot of the complexity in the underlying financials, which will obviously be very helpful. They need to do a restructuring before they actually do the listing. And this will also sort out a number of the complexities, because there are a whole lot of intercompany balances between Blue Label subsidiaries and Cell C itself. And they need to clean all of that up so that they can basically cut Cell C loose and let it go and be a separately listed entity. Now, to get to your question of how are they competing. So yeah, we've certainly seen a few eras of telecoms in South Africa. Cell C for the longest time just made a loss, really. I mean, they just didn't compete well at all. And what really changed recently was the, coming to the fore of what's called an MVNO. So a mobile virtual network operator. And essentially what happens is you get a bank like Capitec who want to take advantage of their gigantic client base, and they want to sell them airtime. They want to sell them cell phone related services. Capitec is certainly not about to go and build out their technology, or at least they haven't yet. Maybe if they get big enough, they will. So let me not say never. But there are many other companies like Capitec, including a lot of smaller retailers, et cetera, who want to get involved in this. And Cell C is basically the shovel in that gold rush. So they are saying, well, we'll power this thing. You know, we'll be the technology that connects you and allows you to actually go off and do this. Now, I'm certainly no expert on how it works with the spectrum, et cetera. And that's also part of why I haven't really gotten involved here. But it's certainly the flick into that model that has made Cell C a much more successful business than it's ever been in its past. And we're now at a point where it looks as though, and it's hard to say for sure, but it looks as though the majority of Blue Label's market cap is now attributable to Cell C. Certainly, if you have a look at the net asset value of Cell C, some of the numbers that need to move around to get this restructuring right, and you compare it to Blue Label's market cap, then it does look that way. So we'll see how this plays out when it's all cut loose. It's going to be a very interesting story to follow. I'm just excited to see a simplified set of financials and separate disclosure so that people can actually see what is really going on there, and so that you can do it relatively simply.
Let's turn our attention to a company in retail, and that is CA Sales. Now, CA Sales Holdings, head office in Botswana, also trading in Namibia, and recently acquired a company called Vuto Trading to expand their network. So we are exposed to what they do here. But they are betting on the fact that people will continue to cycle from the informal sector to the formal retail environment as earnings and lifestyle changes. And so far, they seem to be being proved right. Their numbers look good.
Yeah, I think they're betting on a few things. That is definitely one of them. Urbanization, another big trend, just, I mean, as the name suggests, right? And specifically in African countries where you have more and more people moving to developed areas, then you have a situation where those retailers need to service more people. But what they're really betting on is the fact that it is actually just not easy to get to market. So if you are an FMCG company, you have a particular product, you want to get it into retailers in places like Botswana, or as you say, Namibia, several other countries in Africa as well. It's not that easy, right? Like, how do you actually get that right? So CANS or CA Sales Holdings, they basically sit in the middle. It is, again, that shovel in the gold rush point, like I said about Sol C, where they are basically the plug. They are the solution that connects these FMCG suppliers into these retailers. They help them get onto the shelves. They deal with the logistics, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very cool business. It obviously benefits from things like general levels of inflation, general levels of spending power in Africa. The past year has certainly seen huge improvements in economic fortunes in Africa. Thank you very much, weaker dollar. I mean, we've seen that come through in companies like MTN, Standard Bank, Absa, anything with exposure to Africa is definitely having a better time now than before. However, at CANS, they do have one big risk, which is quite different to most of the countries in Africa, or rather most of the companies operating in Africa, because most companies are not over-indexed to the Botswana economy. However, CANS, because it started there, they are making a lot of their money still in Botswana. Now, of course, if you've been following what's going on with diamonds, then you will know that mined diamonds are in serious trouble, which means De Beers is in serious trouble, which means that the Botswana government's fiscus is potentially in trouble, and that could well filter down into their economy, creating a pretty big risk here for CANS. So it's a great business. I think they do a fantastic job of controlling what they can control, but they are facing one very big risk, and that is really the effect of the diamonds on the Botswana economy.
Turn our attention to insurance now. Santam, which is also one of the leading insurers in Namibia, have put out some really impressive numbers, up more than 11% year to date and over 24% over the 12-month period. At the same time, however, OUTsurance up 58% and 14% year to date. So it looks like things are going really, really well in the insurance industry. Can you understand what the big trend is, and perhaps a little bit more information on what's going on in Santam?
So insurance is particularly interesting, and especially short-term insurance. It's actually more cyclical than a lot of people realize, but in a way that is kind of weird. So basically what happens is you have any particular year, there are risk events, because of course, Santam and OUTsurance and all of them have a lot of very clever actuaries and risk specialists who run all the statistics and say, well, you know, we think that this is the probability of a claim from this particular person with this particular risk profile, and hence this is the premium that we need to charge them in order to lock in a margin. Now, if something goes wrong, so if there's some kind of significant disaster, that's typically what happens. So either weather related or whatever the case may be, or if something goes very well, i.e. there is no such disaster because maybe there's been so many of them that they've been factored in and then it doesn't happen, then you have a significant difference to your underwriting margin in any given period. Now, you have this really fun sort of self-correcting mechanism in the market, because obviously South African consumers are extremely price sensitive. I'm sure it's no different in Namibia. And they will shop around. It is not difficult to go and get alternative quotes. There are lots of platforms that can do this for you and get quotes from lots of different providers. So if any insurance company is just too expensive relative to its peers, it'll start to lose out. And so when you have a situation where risk was a bit lower than people expect, premiums tend to either come down or they just don't go up by as much as inflation, for example. Conversely, if you have a period where there was a lot of risk and then everyone is putting their premiums up, well, then consumers don't have much choice, right? They're going to have to go and just pick what's available. And then if those risks don't materialize, the insurance companies make a lot of money. So that is what seems to have been happening at the end of the day in the short-term insurance space, because it's not just that revenue is up, but also that net underwriting margins, so that's effectively the profit they actually make on short-term insurance, that has jumped considerably as well. So at Santam, for example, that net underwriting margin up from 6.5% to 11.3%. I mean, that is a huge jump. It hasn't quite doubled, but it's not miles off. So that's what's going on in short-term insurance. It's not like every year is like this. I mean, technically it can't be because of the competitive forces that I've mentioned, but it certainly has been a very strong year for Santam and even stronger for OUTsurance. OUTsurance boosted by their business in Australia as well. It's not just the South African story. So yeah, if you bought into short-term insurance a year ago, you've probably done pretty well on the market.
And leave the best to last, I suppose. ShopRite put out some numbers this week that are truly eye-watering. Now, we've mentioned them a couple of times over the last few years. It's just absolute juggernaut. But they've decided to ditch percentages because the percentages aren't telling a good enough story at the moment. They put another 20.6 billion rand through the tills to take them to 250 billion revenue milestone. And 6.5 billion of that is from ShopRite and USave, so the bottom end of the market. Just amazing numbers from ShopRite. Is it possible for anything to go wrong for them at this stage?
Yeah, it's a great question. And you've touched on an important point there, which is investors always need to be a bit careful when it feels that way, when it's like, oh, you know, nothing could possibly go wrong here. You need to then really interrogate the business, understand why it's doing well, just how wide is its moat, what are the chances of disruption, and where could that disruption come from? Now, in the case of ShopRite, I've got to say, it's kind of hard to find reasons why they won't just continue. I mean, I don't think that they continue necessarily at such a high rate all the time. And what is quite interesting is in their supermarkets RSA business, so that's obviously their local supermarkets business, there was quite a big slowdown in growth in like-for-like sales in the second half of the year versus the first half of the year. And that obviously talks to just their overarching grocery businesses. Now, could some of that be that things are getting better at Pick and Pay, maybe at Woolworths? I mean, we just don't know. You know, they are facing big competition from the likes of Boxer as well. You know, maybe Spar is starting to get their house in order a little bit. We just don't know. But what we do know is that ShopRite is investing heavily in other growth engines. They've got a lot of different store formats that they are experimenting with and seeing how quickly they grow. Pet Shop Science, Unique, etc. But that stuff is still very, very small in the group context. It really is tiny. So what you need to look at is their grocery business. And you need to ask yourself, what can disrupt this thing and why is it so strong? And I think the core takeout right now around ShopRite is they really are now just an omni-channel retailer. Like, long gone are the days of them saying, okay, well, we have a bricks and mortar business and then an e-commerce business. No, they have an omni-channel business. When they open stores, they think to themselves, you know, does the site make sense for not just people coming to the store, but also for order fulfillment through 60/60? And I'm not speculating here. This is based on a conversation that I had with their CEO this week. He confirmed that this is now where the mindset is for them. And it's very hard to disrupt that. And of course, what's coming is 60/60 as a fulfillment engine across not just Checkers, but also all these other store formats that are coming through the door. I mean, why on earth not, right? It's all corporate owned. They own 60/60. They may as well make sure that this is the fulfillment engine for everything in the group. That is a very powerful strategy. That's what the Fashini Group has done with Bash. We know that it works. We have a perfect use case there of how well it works. ShopRite's very, very clever. They will have watched that growth story and they will now be thinking about, okay, what do they do with 60/60 to get it to that level? So yeah, well done to them. I mean, it is fantastic. It really is. It is interesting though, the ShopRite share price has not necessarily been a rocket ship at all for investors. It's really had to grow into its valuation. So that's something to just keep in mind as well. I personally think a lot of that has now happened. If you look at where the price earnings multiple is, when I looked the other day, it was kind of like very high teens, roughly around 20 or just below. You know, you're getting a lot of business for that price now. So it's a great company. And I don't want to say that nothing can go wrong for them because stuff can go wrong, but sure, that moat is very wide.
Thank you, Ghost. As always, we'll chat to you next week. And if you're interested in what the Ghost has to say, get to ghostmail.co.za. You can check out all the interesting newsletters that are there. Keep yourself up to date on a daily basis, as well as a lot of in-depth journalism going on there as well. Explainers and a real in-depth focus on different companies and markets. That's ghostmail.co.za. We'll speak again next week.